she really, you know, it's not like he just brushed away with the boy had died or made it was not a big deal. It was serious. There were some serious consequences, and there are the choices that we make. But in such great love, the way the Father handled it, dealt with it, you know, it's like, that is true. That's a true daddy. That's what dads do. I'm blessed because I have a dad and he always is there and loves me regardless of what I've done. He's shown that over and over. But so many people don't have that. And so the picture, and that's why we have what we have of men turning to men because they didn't get daddy. And girls turn to any guy they can find because they didn't get daddy. And people fighting and people not knowing how to parent because they didn't get, you know, and they don't know God. And like, we have this God who loves us so much to step in where we didn't maybe get the physical fathering to say, let me love you. Let me be your dad. Like, we're so blessed, you know? He is so awesome.
Even unto death.
Even unto death, yeah.
Can I say something real quick? Because Pastor Harvey, he always say, God bring in who you want to bring in. And God, you know, God was ministering to me as being sitting right here. And it's all about the foundation of the church. And I remember, as I got to do, you don't sometimes you don't see the whole picture. Because I see the picture when Pastor was passing out the sheep. And he is sheep. And God speaks to him and says, these are my sheep. And he constantly tells us, did you get it? I want you to get this. I want you to get this. And you talk about the wilderness, us being in the wilderness. And think about Noah when he built that ark. And when God said he's going to send flood on the waters. And if God got us here to go into that boat, and then what we hear is there, and we have to learn. And I see growth in each and every individual in you. And that's because this is where God planted us. This is where our foundation is here. And we have to look past those things. The thing that we got differences with each other. That's the thing that's gonna happen. But you got to look past that. And look at the whole picture of what's going on. Look at the whole picture of what's happening for each and every one of us. Because we all is a part. And I love that too. I listen to it and I see things. I see it. I remember it from everything. I still remember the sheep. I remember the speech about the heart. All of this stuff that I remember. I remember yoga. It's a bond. And if we break that bond, we can't stand it. We cannot stand it. And God gives him what the best for us. We have to really listen to that. And it's like he tells us to do something. It's not because he don't love us. It's because this is what God says. And he has to do what's right.
Not, you know. We just been making little songs out of that, but it's like, anyone that asks will receive. And that word ask doesn't just mean like a casual, like, oh, can I have this? But it's like a craving, a begging for, or a required thing. Like, if you require it, well, if you require it, you're going to receive it. Like, because we have God as our Father. And it says, if the Son asks bread of any of you, will you give him a stone? Well, there's a comparison there, like bread just means something to eat, but it can also be like it requires sustenance, and Jesus is the bread of life. So we require Jesus for our very existence. It says, will you give him a stone? And that can mean, like, would you give him like something that would actually harm him? Or a stump, it could be like metaphorically a stumbling block, but Jesus is our cornerstone. So actually, it can even be a good thing, like he's our required sustenance, the bare necessity for living and breathing. We need the bread of life, and we need Jesus to be our cornerstone. Or if you ask for a fish, would a father give his son a serpent? Would he give him evil instead of filling him with meat? Jesus also, like, I think about that ichthus being the sign of Christianity. That's every time I see that, I just see that fish and the ichthus, you know. And through that, it's like bringing in others so that they can eat of that bread of life that Jesus is, so that they can become the cornerstone in their life as that foundation that, because everything around us is so unstable. And to me, the sign of like the father of the family, he's the cornerstone. God is the cornerstone, and when everything else is like so unstable, like you can turn to your dad and say, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, I'm scared, and we can turn to God and say, I'm confused and I'm scared. And so I love thinking of him as a stone. Instead of seeing, like when I'm doing this right now, I don't see stone as a bad thing, I see it like a positive, because Jesus is our cornerstone, and we can allow God to be a stable place for those around us if we allow that, you know? But just that he's our Father. He is this stable, strong stone in the middle of all this chaos. And, you know, like you were just saying about Pastor Harvey, the way he like brings messages and all that. Well, he's like that. I mean, doesn't it say that the foundation is the apostles and the prophets? And he's our apostle here, so he is like the foundation piece that God built a burning bush on, because he is the one that's replacing it. He's like the spiritual father of this ministry, you know? So we're really blessed by that. I'm doubly blessed. Yeah, I was a physical dad, and he's my apostle. So, like, I get it both ways. And I always say that was a blessing, because we don't always get along. But truly, you know, like, when I was growing up, and we get what we've received, and he received a lot of harshness growing up, because his parents didn't know any different, and so he thought that's what dad was supposed to be, is harsh rules, you know, I mean, that's what God was supposed to be, that's how you show love, and he didn't know different than that. But, so to me, like, I didn't understand that when I was growing up, but I thought, man, if I ever screw up, he's going to be so done with me, because I can't be perfect, you know? But as a teenager, I tested that. Really good job testing him, and he was so good. I can remember, like, I had really messed up, and I was so sure that he was going to be so angry with me when I confessed. And he sat up and he just hugged me, and he forgave me. And I think that's the first time ever in my life that I thought that I knew that it didn't matter if I did, you know? And I think I was like 17, so. Like, I've never again thought since then that he would be done with me, you know? And I just. these gloves, you have everything on. And you felt so much lightness, you know. You think about, like, when you like think about Jesus like taking everything, and it's like, wow, thank you, this lightness, but then it's followed by that grief of what we've done to him, you know? Like if you think about that, and it's that kind of a, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to hurt you like that. That relationship being built on love, not on can I follow the rules and stay in line. And I think that the general, at least growing up for me, that was the general, that's what dads are. Dads are rules and regulations, moms are hubs, you know? Moms are the loving part, dads are the rules. And I think that in the world, I think that tends to be what people think it's supposed to be if you're going to follow the standard or something. And that isn't true. It's not like rules are opposite of love. It's like rules are love, but it's not about the rule. It's more about why is there a rule? You know, why do I tell my kids not to run the road? Why do I tell them not to fire? Not because I just want to make a group of rules, but because I'm trying to protect them and love them. And that's like the Father's love. So that's why they come with these rules. That's why they generate a plan of how we're supposed to be. Because they love us. Because God loves us. Don't steal from your neighbor. Because I love them too. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. That's not loving. I mean, the Ten Commandments are all love-based. It's not about just follow this list, you know? And it's like, that song to me is just an absolute picture of what a father is, what a father is supposed to be. And just that kind of love, to me, that is like awesome. I love that song. I love God. I love my daddy. So, anyways.
I want to give you two words today that I think all of us boil down to. The first word is believe, and the second word is focus. Now, this wasn't in my thing today, but I'm just giving this to you that you may want to meditate on it, and then we'll do the best. Matthew 18:21-22. I'm not even going to read it. But we're over in John 14, and I'm just going to read you notes. I felt like God had me do this one. Notes it. Most of them I think I've read the all, but I feel like I'm going to go back over. Are you ready? Thanksgiving. stay on thee, on God. Why? Because that person trusts in God. If we focus on the problems, we're trusting in the problems to sustain us. I think that's a neat thought. If we focus on the problems, it's because we're trusting in the problems to sustain us. But Jesus said, if you focus on me, he said, I am not going to leave you. And when you focus on me, he said that I don't leave you. He said, but if you want the problems that are, then you stay focused on them. So don't stay focused on the troubles. Commit them unto God. Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Lord, this is what's in my way. This is what's in my way. It's a bill. It's a physical need. You know what Sue does? Every night, Sue says, Harvey, will you pray because my legs hurt tonight? And if she goes at night without asking me to pray for her, then she does not get a good night's sleep. She's in pain all night. And in the middle of the night, when I'm asleep, she'll think, I ought to wake him up, but she doesn't. And she has a terrible night. And every single night that I pray for her, it's only been 40 years now. Every single time, she says, within 5 minutes, the pain is gone, she has a wonderful night's sleep. Every single night. And she said, but when she goes to pray for herself, it doesn't seem to work. You know, it's because. The point is, Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. All these verses, by the way, are verses that God, through the years, has had stood out to me and had me memorized. One of the points of memorizing a verse is that is Jesus in prayer. That's a truth of Jesus. And when you memorize it, you're getting that truth of Jesus in an area that you're going to need. Now when you're reading the Bible and a verse jumps up and dances on the page, you know what I'm talking about? Whoa! Okay? If your mind keeps going there, you really need to write that verse down. You really need to carry it around with you during the day. That's why I started carrying 3x5 cards. And I would write them in phrases. I know y'all have never heard this before, so I'm just telling you. Yeah. You write them in short little phrases, because King James has meter to it, it sings. Has meter, like a song. Meter? Okay. Like, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See what I'm saying? It's got meter. It sings. It has a flow to it. You know? But you don't go, let this mind be in, let this mind be in you. You know, it's like, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when you write it, to me, when I go to say it, I can hear the readers. I can feel it. Okay? Because it's a natural break. And then I write each little phrase on one line of a 3x5 card. So, let this mind, next line, be in you, next line, which was also, next line, in Christ Jesus. And then I meditate on one little line at a time. Let this mind, what mind? The mind of Christ. How he thinks, how he sees things, how he perceives things. So all these verses I've given you are verses that through the years God's had me memorize. Almost every single one. I see one here that is not. But almost every single one are verses. I'm telling you that for a reason. Write them down. Carry them with you. If you meditate on them and read them and reread them and
read them through the same day or over the same week, you keep rereading them, you're going to memorize them without even trying. They're going to get in you. Sue has a lot of these in her. She can't remember where they are in the Bible. That's why she'll say it is written. Okay? It's okay. You don't have to know where it is if you know the verse, if you know Jesus. Where it's written was added by man. The verse is God. I believe the others, God doing it for us, breaking it down to pieces for us, make it easier to find. Right. So let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. I am right here. What do you believe? No, you're not alone. Don't stay focused on the troubles. Commit them unto Him. You can't do anything about them anyway. Give them to Him. Look, this is Psalm 37:5. Commit thy faith unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Are we focused on the ways or Jesus? When we focus on Jesus, we walk on the ways of troubles. Who do we really believe Jesus is? Mark 4:38-41. And He, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, the rear part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake Him and say to Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you said that this week? Because I know you've said it before. Lord, don't you care? This is what I'm going through. Don't you care? Does He care?
Yes.
Does He care?
Yes.
Does He care about whatever it is you ask Him? Does He care?
Yes.
Does He care about where you live? Does He care about what you eat? Does He care about what you wear? Does He care about what you want? Does He care about the needs of your heart? Does He care about your pain? Does He care about you?
Okay.
So, Mark, in the verse passage I was I just read, he arrived, he arose, he rebuked the wind, he said to the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, there was a great calm, the water calmed right now. And he said to them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What do you believe Jesus can do? Is there anything that's too big for him?
No. Without our lack of knowledge.
Confusion only comes when we consider anything other than what God says. Confusion only comes when we consider any other thing than what God says. Confusion only comes when we consider any other thing than what God says. So, what are you going through? Alright, are you ready? What are you going through right now? Problems with your kids? Problems with bills? Problems with your health? Problems at work? What are you going through? And what does the Word have to say about it? Now, here's what the Word says, and here's what I feel. Does God care about what you feel?
Yes.
But are your feelings always true?
No.
And even if it is true, is Jesus bigger? Can he take care of it? Or is he going, oh, big for me. Better call him an Allah. You know? Go talk to Buddha. You know? I'm asking you. He says, I am bigger than any need you have. John 10:28-29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You can't perish. And nobody can take you out of my hand. Nobody. Even the government, even the CIA, even the NSA, even the FBI. Do you understand? They can't take you out of my hand. My Father, which giveth to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, you are in my hand. Psalm 23:4. I went to his, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is this guy not fearing evil? He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I don't fear evil. You know why? Because you're with me. He believed it. What does the Word right now, maybe this is the question of the day, what does the Word have started coming there, we started the food pantry and whatever. So all these people started coming, but God had called them into ministry, and God had shown me that Glenn was going to be a pastor, and that showed me that pastor meant different than what I had been taught what pastor meant. And so I'm like, okay, so like, I can see that's what you want to do with them. How's this going to work? And he said, well, they're going to get on the job training. So they stayed there. I wasn't there. I was running subways. And they're there. They kept calling. Hey, people were coming in. This is what this one's saying. This one's the situation. And this is the situation. And people are saying this. People are doing this. What do we do? I mean, you know, they call me all the time. But, and I got to where God had me saying stuff to them, but it came down to two things was the answer. Number one, what does the Word have to say about what you're saying? What does the Word have to say? You need to go find out what the Word has to say. Now, in the beginning, God had me write a book and give them some verses. You might want to go check this out and that out just to get you started. Give me an idea of what God has to say about this. So number one, what does the Word have to say? And number two, what is the Spirit telling you inside your belly? What does the Word have to say? And what is the Spirit telling you? You'll find that in John chapter 4, 23 and 24, where Jesus said, he says in Psalm 23 here, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm not going to fear because you're with me. There's people that fear because they don't focus on Him being with them. Other people working where Glenn 2 works could see the same need that Glenn 2 sees. But they just see the problem. I got my own problems. How could I do anything about this? And then they just keep on doing the same thing. But God has helped him to grow by putting his faith in God. And he sees something and says, God, what do I do? And God's like when the disciples came and said, Master, they're all hungry. Send them away to the city so they may go buy food and eat it. He said, why don't you feed them? He said, we can't send them away. They're tired than there. A whole bunch of them. He said, you feed them. And they're like, how are we going to do that? So Glenn 2 says, how am I going to do that? God says, do this. He showed them the need. And he said, God, had one down here, and my daughter wanted it. And she says, how about if y'all load it in your truck and bring it and meet us halfway? Okay. And they said, we want to take Dad out, you know, for Father's Day. And so we go yesterday, and they bought me some shirts, you know, and she sent me this card, you know, on the phone, you know, number one dad and all that, you know, with a trophy, you know, and the first thing they did was they come in, and Sue stands up to go hug them, and they go, no, it's Father's Day, and they come right to me, and they go right to her, they came right to me, and hug it on me, and then here comes their daddy, and he's a big old bear, and he comes up, he's like a little boy, you know, and just hugging on me, and then she gives me this bag with the shirts in it, and then they had told us already that we want to buy you, you know, dinner, and for you to go pick, and she said, well, he's wanting to have ribs, and they said, whatever, you know, we didn't know where to go in Lansing, but we looked up ribs, and so anyway, we went to a place called Finley's and had ribs. What I'm saying is, it ministered to me right now. It doesn't matter where we're at, where, when people are giving to you, and they're, you know, it's like I just felt loved and appreciated and cared about and valued and honored, you know? And didn't that do something big, you know? Just any one of those things, but they just, you know, they normally do more than just anybody. You know, they do normally more. And it means a lot to me. And what I'm saying is, God wants to live through us. But before he lives through us, please, he doesn't use people. He first wants to minister to us. And one of the best ways for him to minister to us is really ministering to him. And the way to minister to him is to believe him. Do you know what that does inside of him? When you believe in him, when you believe that he really loves you, and you believe that he really cares. Now, I'm not going to go on and read all these notes and stuff like I did this morning for me. I thought that's what we were going to do today, but people had things to say, she had stuff to say, that song was long, to feel like that's, you know, somewhere along that I was like, okay, I don't feel like we're supposed to do all this today. God wants us to believe him. He loves you in a very practical sense, okay? Let's talk about it. You have a need. Everybody in here, to some degree, is needy. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Not right now.
That's okay. I understand. I understand. I'm glad for you and what you mean. And down the road, you're going to understand what I meant. And then you were needy, even though you didn't realize you were needy. Okay? We all have needs of different sort. Some are physical, some are emotional, some are spiritual. You understand? Needs of the heart, healing, of different sorts. We all have needs. Just being alone, I think of you. I think of these guys, I think of him, I think of everybody in here basically except Glenn and Roxanne, maybe single friends. Okay. But it's like every one of you is, every one of you. No.
It's me.
I'm sorry, this time.
This time.
I'm
just single friends.
You're needy in that way. If no other way, you're needy in that way. You need to be loved. But you know what? You can look for it the wrong way. You can try to self-medicate and fulfill that need yourself. Or you can turn to God. And I believe every one of you in here to some degree has turned to God. What I'm letting you know is He's there even more than you've turned to Him. He is bigger than any need you have. And you know what? Here's Glenn and Roxanne, married, but there's times that they're both alone. Even when they're together. Because he doesn't think like her. She doesn't think like him. She's got things going on inside that doesn't, not sure that he understands. And maybe he doesn't. And there's things he's going on that go on. Maybe because of her that he doesn't understand. And they're both, everybody on this planet is alone to some degree.
Amen.
Sue and I love each other, but you know what? We give each other a lot of alone time. The other one, a lot of space to go do whatever. And I'm really glad because I love having my alone time because I am so people, you know. And it's okay if I pour out and all that, but it's like, I need alone time because I need to be replenished. I need to be filled up. I need to be healed. I need to be soothed. I need to be comforted. I need to be believed in. I need to be loved and cherished. And the only one that I can get that from the way that I need it is God. And I think that is true for every person on the planet. And what I'm going to say to you is those two words we're going to come back to. What do you believe about what Jesus says? Just in John 14. Does he care for you? Does he want you to be troubled? He said, you're not always going to find me, though I'll never leave you. He said, but I'm going to come live inside of you as the comforter, so I'll always be with you. You need to know me in that way. You need to know and believe that I'm right here, that I care about every need, even when you're going, but why am I going through this? Understand it all clearly right now. Maybe we have some idea. And sometimes what we think of why we're going through it isn't why we're going through it.
Right.
Because we put burdens on ourselves and think somehow we're being punished or something. You know, or straightened out.
Right. Deserved to that.
Right.
Because we need a
vision.
So, what do we believe? Are we believing Jesus? What is he telling us? What does his word say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God?
Believe also in me. I'm right here.
In my Father's house. He says, I'm going to prepare for you. I'm making plans for you. Personally. He said, I'm dealing in you right now. I've got something. What do you believe about what Jesus is saying? What do you believe? Are you believing what Jesus is saying or your feelings? In the situation you're going through, when it's the hardest, what do you believe? What do you focus on? Where the Bible says that it's in Job, a man is born into troubles. We're going to have troubles in this life. Think our comfort zone is not the priority, though we all wish it would be. It's not the priority of life, our comfort zone. And we've got more comforts than anybody in history has ever known.
Yes.
look simply at Jesus' word going across the lake in a boat. Jesus wasn't worried. He knew what was going to happen. He goes and lays down, says, I'm going to rest. While they're going through it, they're not resting. Their eyes are like this. They were like that cat before he got hit. I mean, am I making this up or what? And that's maybe what you're going through right now. Maybe what you're going through right now is that bad. Here's a verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. It says this. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I see the look.
Okay. I mean, 1 Thessalonians is my brain drop for us.
Yeah, that's okay.
One more time.
1 Thessalonians 5:24. Yeah. And then I want to get this verse, 1 Peter 2:23. Who, talking about Jesus, when he was reviled, rebuked, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, he threatened not. But I like these words. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Sure.
Father, I don't like what I'm going through. They're saying all manner of evil against me. They're beating me. They're rejecting me. They're spitting on me. But I'm committing myself into your hands. You're the God of right. You're going to make all things right. You have a purpose. You have a plan. I'm going to embrace it so I can go through this with you. Instead of trying to run from it and having to go through it longer and go through it without you. Would you rather go through it with them or without them? With them, we embrace it. If we try to run, argue, figure it out, fix it ourselves, we're doing it without them. He's like, I'm not mad here. He's like, but I'll just sit in the back seat. Let me know when you're done. He doesn't want us to touch him. He wants us to touch him. You know in Isaiah 63:9 that nothing can happen to us that hasn't touched him. So you either touch it or touch him. You either try to figure it out, put your hands on it, try to figure it all out in your brain, try to make it work. I wish somebody would have taught me this stuff years ago. Oh my word. See, there's a lot of stuff we know, but how do you do that? I'm trying to help you. This is all simple how to do it stuff. Because you already know all this, but how do you do it? And how you do it is, you make a choice out loud. Make a choice out loud. Okay, I am trusting God. This is what I feel. And it may even be true. But I'm not going to live at this level and let it control me. I'm not going to stay focused on it. I'm not going to believe on this so it stays here. I'm going to believe on God. Now God, these feelings, I need you to deal with. But I'm not going to give in to them and let them control me. I'm committing it all in your hand. I don't know about you, I'm just trying to tell you how to. Over and over and over again, one of the things that I like about having memorized so many scriptures, I say verses out loud, okay? I say truths out loud, feeling person. I am just so feeling, hyper-feeling. You know what I mean? And I get all these feelings all the time. I choose to trust in you and your word, Jesus. I choose to trust in your character. I choose to trust in your love for me. I choose to trust that you never leave me nor forsake me. I choose to trust that you love me unconditionally. I choose to trust that you are bigger than any need that I have. I choose to trust in you. I don't care what my feelings are telling me. My feelings are going to come and go. But if I live by my feelings, I'm going to say and do things that I'm going to be sorry for. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to let them come out of my mouth. That those feelings take me up and down. I remember years ago, I'm sorry, you want to say something?
I can think.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I just had a question, just for some clarification. When you said that to embrace whatever reality you're going through, because, I mean, I'm thinking what I heard and what I thought was probably not what you're trying to say. Because what I heard was we're supposed to like it.
You don't have to like it.
I don't understand how.
Okay, for example, let's say that your job is, you look and you see that the dishes need to be washed. Embrace it. I need to wash these dishes, so I'm going to do it with a good attitude. Not grumbling and griping and telling Dana, you know, and calling in names and whatever, and putting all guilt and stuff and blah, all over him. You know what I'm saying? Embrace, okay, this is what I need to do. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to do it with a good attitude. I'm going to do it as worshiping in Jesus. That's what I mean by embrace. Okay, in that application. Give me a different application.
Relationship problems.
Okay, you're going through relationship. Okay, God, this is what I'm going through. This is the person you have in my life right now. I'm embracing this, but I want to embrace it your way. I don't know if my feelings are telling me this. Okay. But I know, and it feels true, but I know it's not true because it doesn't ring true with you. Doesn't ring true with you. But I'm going to embrace it. This is who you have in my life. I mean, if it is, you got to first determine that, because there's sometimes we have relationships that are not of God. We just heard the boy in the father's song. He listened to other voices and gave his love to others. Okay? You gotta be careful who you give your love to. Okay? You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful that you set up boundaries. Okay? I had a woman call me this week, and she said, because I interviewed a guy to work, and he gave me four references, and one of them was a girl, a woman. So I called her, told her, I said, would you, I told him all of them. I said, I interviewed this guy and I just need to hear one of his personal references I need to know about. But I interviewed him before most of them called me back. And he wasn't sure he wanted to do this job. So when they called me back, I said, I don't really need to talk to you because he's not sure he wants to do this job. I said, if he decides to do this job, then I'm going to want to talk to you. They all said, okay. This woman ends up calling me back, and she says, when we talked the other day, you so touched me that I told my friends about you, and I want to call back, and you talked about your trained ministers, and I want to talk to you and ask you some questions, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, need to embrace what God, you first have to determine, is this God for my life? Does he want me to be married to the person I'm married to? Yes, he didn't tell you to go get divorced. Okay? So, that means, for better or for worse, and there's going to be a lot of worse, and we need to get God in there. And it's going to take time because it takes two working on it to build a marriage, but one to destroy it. But it takes two. Relationship is the hardest thing you'll ever do. And the closer they are, the harder it is. See, it's easy to be nice and funny to people you just meet every now and then. You know, maybe notice it's all shallow. But when it starts getting any depth, then it gets harder because there's all these differences. You know? And we always think we're right. And they're wrong. If they would just, we go to the marriage counselor and they say, well, if they would just deal with them. Maybe there's expectations I have that I you've known us since you came to Jesus, right? Have you learned a few different things of how to live life?
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, so here's what I'm saying. God is using these things that are like these people in our life to create the character of God in us. What did Jesus do? He withdrew and prayed all the time. Jesus himself withdrew and prayed. You think, 100% God, what did he need to pray for? Dude, he had to deal with relationships. Like, are they ever going to get it? Like, you know, like, man, this was a long way down here. Like, they're like, hey, whoa, like, they just don't get it. I know.
And that's a box.
See? And he's like, I need to go pray, dude. I mean, like, Peter's like, can I talk to you? He's like, I think you better let me pray first. You know what I'm saying? Peter, especially when you come and talk. You see what I'm saying?
No, just
yeah, and then he's dealing with all the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. I used to have a pastor that used to, the way he was the pastor, but he was the principal of the school that Sue worked at, okay, at our Christian school. And he ended up becoming the pastor. And he was the assistant pastor, but he used to tell the teachers, don't bring me a problem, bring me a solution. Because they would come to him with all these problems like he's supposed to be the God answer man and fix everything. Okay? You know what I mean? So like, Glenn too sees a need at his work. And Glenn too doesn't make a lot of money. He's working and making that same minimum wage like those other guys are. But because he's been working there for a while, God's taking care of some of his financial needs and got him out of some of that financial hole that he was in. And God put it on his heart. You see this, these people that come here, they're like, they've got whatever that thing is called where you have to pay for kids.
Child support.
They've got rent. They've got kids. They've got needs, and they can't make it. And they're not even bringing, they don't even bring themselves a lunch. And because God had worked compassion by putting him in that situation, I don't know if you just heard that. Because he was in that situation, it caused empathy and compassion inside of him. Empathy, caring about the needs of another. Compassion, caring about somebody. And he starts praying about it, and God says, you feed them. And he's like, well, how do I do that? He says, start making them lunches. Now, he didn't have to do that. He could have argued, but no peace, no joy, no love. Jesus. Because that's one way, which is what makes sense, our way. And then there's God's way, Yahweh. He and they have neighbors that are causing them problems. Gripe, complain, that other word. All these things, they can do that. And now here they are back to no love, no peace, no joy, no presence. And on top of that, bitterness and anger. And it festers. And the more you say it, the feet on each other. Pretty soon it's like a volcano exploding, erupting. We've all done this. We all have this. I have those kind of neighbors. I'm so thankful.
Oh, sorry. This old
one. I've had this, you know, they take us to the city for having church. church, but.
Well, it's pretty annoying because I have to say something to you.
What I'm saying is, we need to pray. We need to take this definite need. It's a very definite need, and it's a ongoing need. And we need to take it to God, but see, often what we need to do is ask God how to pray. What He wants us to pray about it. And you can pour out and tell Him everything you want. He's going to answer, but His answer isn't always going to be yes, because that's not His way. That's His will. You understand? But if you ask Him, how do I pray? I like that He started off the story by saying, I pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Or what do I do in this situation? And that's, like I think of Judy where she's at, where she's living. And then I think of us where, what we're going through, and it's the same principle, but it's not, you know, comparable, but it's the same principle. And that is like I go, God, I don't get it. And she goes, God, I don't get it. And He's like, will you trust me? And it's like, and I'm sure she said the same thing I said to him. Am I doing something wrong? Is there something I need to do different? And he goes, no, you're right where I want you to be. And I go, but I don't get it. He's like, do you have to get it? Or can you trust me? I'm like, I can trust you. But see, I fall into worrying, threatening, complaining, grumbling, cranky. You know what I mean? And then I gotta repent and come back. Nope, I'm not, because He's teaching me how to trust Him. He's teaching me a lot deeper than what some other people have learned. You know what I'm saying? Because if I tell it to a lot of people, they start coming up with all these solutions. Now, you could ask God, God, how do you want us to pray? He may say, I'm working on them and they're about to break. He may say, I want you to move. He may say, ask me about each thing and I will deal with each thing. He's like, I can drop another level if I need to. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, He knows how to answer the prayer. He's the God.
He's the answer.
And we're the servant. He's the God. And we're the servant.
He's the God and we're the actor.
Right. But it's like, meanwhile, He's dealing with stuff, bringing it up inside of us. Because it's like, what would Jesus do? In reality, if Jesus was living in Europe, condo or whatever that thing's called. If Jesus was living in your apartment, what would Jesus do?
Some love and arms.
But sometimes He tells us to confront. Sometimes He says, go bake him a pie because He says, go give him water and give him food because it's like foreign coals of fire on their head because the goodness of God leads a person to repentance. You gotta ask God, what is that? But God is teaching us how to do that. By putting us in these situations that develop us to become like Him. So, I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. It's not that I'm not compassionate for what you're going through. I am. I could wish I prayed some of my neighbors to go on a pilgrimage. One way to never return. You know, here's what we got to do, is we've got to embrace, okay, God, these are the cards you dealt me. You understand? You ever played card games?
Yeah.
Well, you can gripe about your hand or you can play your hand and have fun. Or you can gripe all the time. You know? So what I'm saying is, this is the hand you dealt me. You pray, if God is this it. Do you want us to move? No. Or, yes. Okay, so you want to move? Okay. Because He could be doing that to move you. He'll do that also. but you pray, God, what is it you want me to do with this hand? He said, I want you to play it. How do I play it, Lord? You know, what is it that I'm holding on to in my heart that I need to let go of? What is that holding on to? My rights? My will? You know what I mean? My comfort? I don't know, but it's like he's dealing with all of us because this is what he's doing with us, folks. This isn't, you know, North American church here. This is God's church. And God's, I mean, have you ever heard of anybody going and buying food and making lunches and taking them? That's Jesus. Have you ever heard? I mean, things I hear and see in you guys' lives, it's Jesus. And we want Jesus.
Amen.
If you're just looking for Him to bless your life, try somewhere else. They'll teach you that prosperity message. And you can go try to live that. It doesn't work, but you can go try. And you can live your whole life self-focused. But that's not what you're about. And to be what you're about, we have to go through these things. So what I'm saying is, God, what is the hand you dealt me? The people I have in my life? The guy dropped the thing? Whatever. What's the wisdom here? But Lord, I'm going to embrace the hand you gave me. I may not like it, but I'm not going to grumble and complain about it. I'm going to say, this is the hand you dealt me. What do I do with it? What is it you want me to see? I ask these questions almost every single day. I bet I ask them every day, multiple times at that. And have for a long time. What is it I don't see? What is it I need to see? What is it I need to do different? What am I missing? What does my wife tell me that I'm not hearing? What has she told me 1,000 times that I've missed? Because sometimes she says that. I've told you so many times. I'm like, I don't ever remember hearing you say it once. You know? Stuff all the time.